let's turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Remember last week we got a start in just dealing with this chapter and looking at really our spiritual family and relationships. And we talked about not only how Timothy is told by Paul to relate to the elders as fathers and the elder women as mothers and the younger men as brethren and the younger women as sisters with all purity, and just looking at those kind of really relationships that you have, and all of us are going to fall into one of those categories. But we did a little bit more than that, just talking about how Timothy needs to relate to various people in the body and whatever their ages are, but we also looked at what does it mean to be an elder, biblically to be an elder, and we'll talk more about that later as we come into chapter 5 down the road. But also, what is an elder mother supposed to be like, as well as a brother and a sister. And we looked at all of them, of course, that they need to be ready to minister, to help edify one another within the body of Christ. And again, it falls right in line with our vision for this year, being addicted to the ministry of the saints. Yes, we as Christians are to reach the lost and reach the world, obviously, but there's far more spent in the Word of God far as, again, doctrine to us that deals with how we need to minister and to edify one another. Well, today we're going to be looking at dealing with widows and how we as, whether it's your own personal family, if you have somebody that is a widow, or again, as a church and dealing with widows that are indeed. And so we're going to get a start on that today as we look at verses 3 and 4, but we're going to be this whole month of September, or these 4 weeks, dealing with widows indeed, and what church's responsibility and again a family's responsibility to widows are all about. So that'll be in the next 4 weeks. So this will be requirements for widows. This is today's part one, and we'll have all the way through part four. So we're going to spend a lot of time learning from widows, and it's kind of interesting because you'd almost think, why does God spend so much time and talking about widows? You think it'd be, hey, just say a couple of things, is the way it's supposed to be, and on to the next subject in mind. But as we saw last week, we saw a lot out of just the first couple of verses in dealing with, again, an elder, mother, brother, sister. All right, and again, just the requirements of dealing with that. Well, today is going to be no different. We're not just going to be looking at some of the requirements of a widow. Matter of fact, to be honest with you, we're going to be looking at what should a widow be. Just like we talked about last week, just because you're a widow doesn't mean that God is done with you. God can still use you, again, no matter what age you are. And as we're going to be coming through this, we're going to see the responsibility as far as the church is concerned. If a widow doesn't have any family members to take care of her, then that falls upon the church, but she at least has to be 60 years of age. Like I said, we'll talk about that in a couple of weeks or so down the road. But the point today is going to be that, guess what? God can still use a widow, all right? There's no age where, in a sense, that God cannot use you, all right? Whether you are young, whether you're a child that is saved, and just have even just the understanding of what salvation is, God can use a young child as well as God can use elderly people as well, even more so in being able to deal with their wisdom and their knowledge and their life experience and their walk with the Lord. Just because you're a certain age, up in the age, doesn't mean that God can't use you. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get started on what we need to see today, because we're going to talk about in verse 3 how we need to honor them as far as widows, and then obviously in verse 4 to be able to help them. And again, we're just really going to be getting a start on what we're going to be seeing for the rest of this month. So let's pray, and let's see what God has in store for us today in dealing with widows. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and praise you for the day. I thank you for all that you do. I thank you for every bit of your word. Lord, you know my heart, and just when I was coming to chapter 5 of 1 Timothy, it's always been like my least favorite chapter in this book because of just what it's talking about, and it's like, okay, what can I really learn and see? It's just not that exciting in a sense. But in reality, as I've been coming through and been studying, you've been showing me there's a lot to learn, there's a lot to understand, a lot to apply to our lives. So, Father, I pray that you open up our hearts and our minds to what you have to show us today out of chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Oh, Lord, there's a lot to learn, and I'm sure you'll teach us things, teach me things that I even didn't even consider as I was coming through and reviewing for this week. And Lord, I pray that we all have open hearts and minds again, and not just to look at this as some boring type subject or something like that, but every word of God is important. We can learn from every word of Scripture. And so, Lord, I pray that we would have an attitude to be able to learn from you today and apply the truth of your word to our lives. So ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let's look at it In 1 Timothy chapter 5, I'm going to read verses 3 and 4, and then we'll come back and start coming through this expositionally. It says in verse 3, "Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God." All right, so we get the basic instructions of understanding. Again, if you have widows, what we need to do first is honor them. Now, before I deal with some details about a widow and give some examples and dealing with that, I want you to notice something about the category in the sense of honoring widows. I want you to see what other commands that God gives to the Word of God and what and who we are need to honor. And for this, I actually want you to go back to the book of Exodus first and foremost. Exodus chapter 20. Might be familiar because we're talking about the Ten Commandments being laid out to the nation of Israel after they've come out of Egypt, something that we studied last year as we came through the book of Exodus. And I want you to see one of the Ten Commandments. In Exodus chapter 20, we're going to look down in verse 12. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. It says this, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." So this is one of the Ten Commandments that the Lord lays out, is make sure you honor your father and mother. And again, it's a commandment that comes with a promise of dealing with your days, that your days can be extended in the land that the Lord was going to give the nation of Israel. Make sure you honor your father and your mother. I'll show you something else that the nation of Israel is supposed to honor. I want you to go to the book of Leviticus. So we're at Exodus. Go to the next book of Leviticus. I want you to look at Leviticus 19 down in verse 32. Leviticus 19 in verse 32 says this, "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head," somebody who is gray-headed, so obviously somebody who is elder, "and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God, I am the Lord." And so when it talks about to rise up before the hoar head, you see somebody who is an elder, somebody who is of age. When they're coming into the room or whatever the case is, you need to stand up out of respect. That's what he's saying there. That's part of giving that honor. Honor to, again, that person, because they have lived a while. And again, especially when we're talking about biblically, somebody who has have a relationship with the Lord, you should have that honor and respect for them. Rise up. Greet them. Alright? That's throwing honor to them. Alright? So we see that we need to honor father and mother. We need to honor those who are elder. I'll give you another thing that we need to honor. And this is pretty important, I would think. I want you to go to the Gospel of John. I want you to look at John chapter 5, and we're going to pick it up in verse 22. So the Gospel of John, the New Testament, in chapter 5. And the reason why I'm doing this, again, I want you to understand, the whole different subject matters or people, like I said, that the Lord lays out that we're supposed to be honoring, all right? And the widows fall into that category. That means it's going to be pretty important, especially after you see this. In the Gospel of John chapter 5, let's look down in verse 22. It says this. Jesus is speaking here, and it says, "For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him." So that's pretty important, that we honor the Son, Jesus Christ, and we honor the Father. And if we're not honoring the Son, Jesus Christ, then guess what? You're not honoring the Father. They are the three in one. We include the Spirit of God as well. And so we're supposed to honor our father and mother. We're supposed to honor the elder, the statesman, let's say, the elder person, you know, to rise up when they're there and to be able to greet them or whatever, to honor them. And then we need to obviously honor God the Father and the Son. We need to honor God. That's pretty important. I'll give you something else. I want you to look in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. In the first 7 verses, it lays out, again, our responsibility as believers in Christ to government officials, to law enforcement, to those who keep the peace. That's what the job of government is. We've talked about that before, about how God has given us three institutions to really deal with man in its sinful condition. And talking about the family units, very important, and having a mom and dad to be able to raise their kids biblically. We talk about the church for us today, and just dealing with, again, having the elders and people in the church are able to teach the truth of the Word of God to be able to grow people up in a relationship with Christ. And obviously the government. God has established government, and that's what this chapter in the beginning of it talks about. All right, it's important to keep things in control and not hopefully have the chaos that goes on because of, again, man's sinful nature. And so in Romans chapter 3, it lays those things out, and then in verse 7 it says this. So Romans 13 and verse 7. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And again, it doesn't matter what side of the political fence that you're on. Biblically speaking, we are supposed to honor the government and those officials that are in it. If nothing else, the office that they hold. I mean, it's something that you honor. All right. Again, if the President of the United States decided to come in here, we would need to show him due respect and honor for the position that he holds. Whether we agree or disagree with his policies and what he's doing, and still the biblical thing is to honor in dealing with the government. And again, just to remind you of this, historically, who was the government in charge at the time of Paul? Rome, ruled by Nero. Like a picture of the Antichrist. Paul would later die at the hands of Nero being beheaded. And so when we think about that whole situation, I don't want to get off on that. Again, as Christians, we need to honor our government. Now, in the midst of what we just saw, we see we need to honor our father and mother. We need to honor the older people in our generation, in our lives. We need to honor, obviously, God. We need to honor our government. And then as we come back to 1 Timothy chapter 5, in verse 3 it says, honor widows that are widows indeed. And we'll talk about the widows indeed even next week and after that to understand exactly what a widow indeed is all about, true widows and dealing with that. But you see that God says, honor them. You see the company that that widows are in? Not just honoring father and mother, but God, government, again, and other elderly. All right? I wanted to point that out because it's important, and not only that, because look at our generation today, or look at our country today. Every one of those categories, you can easily see that, guess what? People are not honoring. They're not honoring father and mother. Right? Not taking care of it. We live in a day and age where our people are so selfish that they're just focused on themselves, me, myself, and I, as opposed to the parents that hopefully raised them. I understand there's some bad situations out there, some terrible parents and things like that, but again, we're in a time period where people don't do that. When Trish and I, we did a mission trip to Romania years ago, 1991 is when we were there. And one of the things that was unique about that culture is, like, you see them, especially among the Christians that we spent time with there, is that, you know, mom and dad lived with them. They would add on to the house, you know, and they would be there to take care of their parents. Something that's a little bit different now, I think, a lot of times in our country. Not that we don't have that in our country, but a lot of times we don't do that. In Romania, they did that. I mean, they lived there together to be able to take care of them. But we see that we have a problem with honoring our parents. And I'm saying us in our church in general, I'm just saying in the world, in our country today. What about honoring just elders in general? How many stories and news things have you seen of people, it seems like for sport, going around pushing down elderly people and causing them to die? There's too many of those stories that we're seeing today. Why? They don't understand biblically what they're supposed to be. They're supposed to be honoring those that went before you. Now, what about honoring God? How many people honor God today? Doing the things that He's laid out, respecting and worshiping Him. Yeah, we've got a problem with that today. As well as, obviously, honoring widows. It's important for us to understand these things. Our society is just so out of whack because we simply do not do what the Word of God commands us to do. Now, when we talk about these widows and widows indeed, I want to give you a couple examples of widows before we move on to verse 4. I want you to actually go back to the book of 1 Kings. I want to give you a couple examples today in dealing with widows, because we're probably going to refer back to these two examples as we come through these next 4 weeks. In 1 Kings chapter 17, as you make your way there, just give you a little bit of the background. This is dealing with the prophet Elijah. He's coming in on the scene. There's a time in the nation of Israel where the kingdom is split. You had Judah and Benjamin, those two tribes in the south. That was really obviously from the line of David. And then you had the northern 10 tribes, which was referred to as Israel. And they had a wicked king over them, King Ahab. And so what God is doing, because of the wickedness of Ahab and Israel falling into all kinds of idolatry and sin, is that there's going to be a famine in the land for 3.5 years. And this was given by the word of Elijah, God's prophet. And so obviously that affected him too. And we see where God sustains Elijah for a bit by a brook of a river that's by the River Jordan. And he has ravens come and feed him in the morning time and in the evening time. But then that brook dried out, and so God is going to have Elijah go to the house of a widow. And that's where I want to pick this up at in verse 8. So if you're in 1 Kings chapter 7, let's pick it up in verse 8. It says this, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gates of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I am not a cake, but a hand full of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." A very desolate situation. I mean, she says to Elijah, and it's like, I'm getting ready to have our last meal. You know, I have enough to feed me and my son, and then our plans after that is we're going to die. We don't have anything else left. See what happens. Verse 13. "And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son." I want you to think about that verse. It's unfortunate today, side note, that I've seen crooked, quote-unquote, preachers use this to say how you need to sow a seed of ministry. It doesn't matter if you don't have it. Just sow a seed of faith into my ministry and watch God bless you. I've seen this used that way. Absolutely terrible. But thinking about this, if you were that widow woman, you're in a famine, you're gathering some sticks to be able to make a cake to feed you and your son, and you plan on dying, and then this guy that you've never met before come and say, hey, here's what I need you to do. Yeah, go do that, but I want you to make that cake for me first. And then afterwards, you and your son will be able to eat. What would you do? And remember, Elijah, he's not like this guy probably looked like a bum. I mean, he's dressed in like sackcloth or something like that. He's in the same spirit as we're going to know later for John the Baptist. All right, John the Baptist was, leather girdle and eating, locusts and honey, that sort of thing. And then Elijah's in that same mode, all right? What would you do? You go on and it says this. Verse 14, "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. So I don't know what else. They don't give me more detail as far as her house is concerned. We don't know if she had servants or something like that. I have no idea. But obviously they ate, and it says, for many days. In other words, she trusted the word of God from the mouth of Elijah and fed him first. And all of a sudden she had the food to take care of her and her son and those in her house and Elijah for many days. She placed her faith. She trusted. Now remember, we started this out where God told Elijah, I have commanded a widow woman. And we don't have the details on that. But somehow, God let her know that there's something that's going to be coming. I got my servant coming to be ready, whatever. And this takes place. There's some preparation in her heart. But when she saw Elijah, when he heard the word of God from Elijah, she trusted him. Verse 15, it says this, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Now here's the thing I want you to understand. Again, happened to be a widow. And this is something that all of us obviously can learn from, just like we talked about last week. Never too old to trust God at His Word. Never too old. And not only that, never too old for God to use you in the life of someone else. This widow woman, because of her obedience and her trust, she is able to be used of God to take care of the servant of God and her household. But that's not all. Because here's what happens after a little bit. The widow woman's son dies. And she says this. I actually want you to look at this in verse 17. It says, and it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. Now again, you read the rest of this. I'm going to jump ahead here, but obviously Elijah brings him back to life. And I want you to notice verse 23 and 24. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Now that's a very interesting statement. You'd think that she would understand and know that from the first miracle that took place. She had faith to trust Elijah, trust the word of God in Elijah's mouth, as far as to feed and take care, sustain themselves. But when her son died, it's like, okay, now she's thinking, what are you doing? I can imagine the things that went through her mind. Okay, God, I did what you told me to do. I did what the man of God told me to do, and all of a sudden, you kill my son? It's like, are you bringing my sins back to remembrance? Again, we have no understanding. God didn't preserve what she meant by that or anything like that. We don't know. But God was using that to grow her faith. Because in verse 24, what did she say? Now by this I know that thou art a man of God. That means there was some doubt. She trusted, but there was some doubt there. He says, I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. And the reason why I'm spending so much time and laying this thing out is this. You're never too old to grow in your relationship with the Lord. You're never too old to be able to grow in your faith. Alright? And that's the thing. A lot of times I think people get to a certain age and think, well, I've lived my life. I'm done. There's no more. God can use me. There's no more I can learn. People get stuck in their ways. One of the statements I absolutely dislike. Somebody does something and it's like it's not biblical.
They know it's not right according to the Word of God, and then it says, well, that's just the way I am.
I cannot stand that.
That means that I'm just set in my ways. This is it. Like it or leave it. Whatever it is, I am not going to change. Talking about people being too old and set in their ways. Can't teach an old dog new tricks.
I don't know. I never tried to teach an old dog new tricks. That may be a true thing.
But that is not true for human beings. It's not. All right? We should be able to understand that God can continue to use us, to trust Him, to grow in our faith. And that's what you see the example of this widow woman.
I want to give you another example. I want you to go to Luke chapter 2. The Gospel of Luke chapter 2. And this is when, after the birth of Jesus, after the, again, fulfilling of the law, if a mother had a son, they were supposed to be put away for 40 days for their uncleanness, and then, as far as having the birth and everything, and then go to the temple and present the necessary sacrifices for that. And that is the context of what's going on. And so they take him to the temple, and you have an older guy named Simeon that comes and blesses the Lord and the family and so forth. But then after that, there's a widow woman. Her name's Anna. And that's where I want you to pick it up in verse 36. So Luke chapter 2, in verse 36, it says this: "And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. That means she was 84 years old, almost 84 years old, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem." What an example this widow is. Not only are you not too old to grow in your faith, you're not too old to be used of God. She's 84 years old. You're talking about somebody who is a widow indeed, as we're going to see. I mean, she's night and day in prayers and in fastings in the temple of God. That's where she stayed. That's where she hung out. And then when the Lord came, what did she do? She's a prophetess. I mean, she's somebody that spoke the truth of the Word of God. She was teaching people the Word of God. And honestly, she knew what the deal was, because notice what it says there in verse 38. "And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem." She's able to teach about Jesus Christ, that he is the Redeemer for the nation of Israel. And for those who were looking for that, she was ready to teach them about that. Never too old to be used of God to share His truth. A lot of times, again, our society thinks, oh, people are up in age, they're just old, washed up, and let's just get rid of them. There are certain countries in the world, and even unfortunately, one to the north of us. I mean, you got people in Europe, and you got people, like I said, in the north of us that are like, hey, looks like you got some ailments there, some stuff like that, so, you know, why don't we, in a humane way, end your life? And you have nothing to offer. It's going to be a burden on your family, a burden on society. The best thing to do would just be, let's just end your life. It's like, man, this world's messed up. Absolutely messed up. Who's the mind behind that? Obviously, it's not God. A culture of death. That's Satan. Remember, he never wants anybody to be used of God. We have two great examples of widows. You see them grow in their faith, trusting God, and you see them being used of God. Let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 5. We need to move on. Again, from verse 3, it says, "Honor widows that are widows indeed." And then verse 4, it says this: "But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. And so, again, what we're going to be seeing in the future, again, is really understanding the requirements for a widow as far as a church taking care of her. But if a widow has children, it says nephews, can be the same thing as like grandchildren even. If there's somebody in her family that's able to take care of her, that's what needs to happen. The family needs to take care of the widows in their family. All right, that is showing what they say, piety. That word piety is the idea when you relate it to God is worship towards God. But when you're talking about the widows or your parents, it's talking about dealing with respect or being able to support them. In other words, you think about what your parents have done for you, you ought to turn around and repay them. That's that word requite. That's what it means, to repay them for the things that they've done in your life and getting them, or getting you to the place that you are. You need to turn around and be able to help them when they're in need, to be able to support them. All right? That word requite means to repay. And so when we look at this, let's talk about this again a little bit. And again, we talk about how the widows have children or nephews or, again, grandchildren. They need to learn first to show them piety at home. They need to take care of them. Now, we looked at last week, and we'll just review real quick, but we looked at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. Last week about this, I just want to remind you of that. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3, it says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. That's something that we saw last week when we were talking about dealing with how Timothy is supposed to relate to the elders as fathers. Well, one of those things is to honor your father and mother. Honestly, this is the commandment that we've read earlier today in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Again, being able to honor your father and mother. They need to be ready to take care of them. But in Jesus' earthly ministry, guess what? There were some people, some Pharisees and so forth, that did not do that. And they had this tradition of saying, you know what, mom and dad, I can't support you. I can't honor you in that way because all of my money and everything I've dedicated to the Lord, to the temple. Let's see this. I want you to look in Mark chapter 7. Jesus calls them on a carpet for this. Mark chapter 7. We're going to pick it up in verse 10. Here's what was going on. The Pharisees were coming to Jesus and the disciples, and how come they didn't wash their hands and so forth and do all these things that were traditions that the Pharisees had nothing to do with the Word of God whatsoever. And then when they came and confronted him on this, I want you to pick it up in verse 10. So Mark chapter 7, verse 10, we'll read down through verse 13. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother. And whoso curseth father or mother, let him die to death. God took that pretty serious. If you're not going to honor your father and mother, and especially if you go and curse them, that was a death penalty. Verse 11. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. In other words, again, I'm giving all my income, all my money to the temple, all right? So, again, that I can glorify God, you know, and so on. So I don't have it, mom and dad, to be able to support your needs. I'm sorry about that. Verse 12. It says, and ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect, through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. And in reality, all they're doing is doing this to get out of their responsibility of taking care of their parents, their tradition over the Word of God. It seems all spiritual and everything like that. In actuality, they're doing that which is against the Word of God. Now, Jesus Christ himself even shows how he honored his mother, that is a widow, at the time of his crucifixion. I want you to turn to John real quick, the Gospel of John, in chapter 19. John chapter 19. It's one of the, they call the seven last words of Jesus Christ on the cross. And so, I want you to look down, we're going to look at verses 26 and 27. So, John chapter 19, and verse 26. Again, we don't know what happened to Joseph, the husband of Mary. I mean, the Word of God does not preserve that for us. But obviously, something happened. Obviously, he must have died. He's nowhere on the scene. I mean, again, we don't know exactly what happened, but obviously Mary is going to be alone in this regard. I mean, yes, she had other kids and that, but I want you to notice what Jesus Christ does. I mean, it really sets the example of honoring his mother. It says this in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verse 26. He's on the cross here. He says, "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved." That disciple we know is the writer of this gospel, John. The one that had the closest relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The one that when everybody was asking Jesus at the Last Supper if they were going to be the one to betray him, John was saying, "Who is it?" He knew it wasn't going to be him. He didn't know who it was, but he knew it wasn't going to be him. And he's leaning upon Jesus' breast, you know, and during this time, I mean, he's the only disciple or apostle that died a natural death. I mean, they tried to boil him in oil. That didn't work. God did a miracle, and they exiled him to the island of Patmos. He died only one that died a natural death. Everybody else died a martyr's death with that. But that's what he sees there. All the other disciples are scattered and away from there, but there is John at the cross there with his mother Mary. And again, reading from verse 26, it says, "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home." Jesus made sure that his mother was going to be taken care of. He honors her. And again, we don't know where Joseph is, so chances are Mary's a widow. Alright? And so he honors that. He would be the oldest in the family, I mean, speaking. He takes care of her. Alright? And that's what families need to do. I want you to go back. I'm going to cover one more thing and we'll be done today. You go back to 1 Timothy chapter 5 again, in verse 4. "But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home," make sure you respect, support them, "and to requite their parents," to repay them back. Why? "For that is good and acceptable before God." The last thing we need to see here, that this is something that is good and acceptable before God. Honoring your mom and dad. Now, I get it. I mean, us kids, when we think about parents, oh, they don't know anything. Oh, they didn't treat me the best. Whatever. We can all come up with things like that or whatever. But it's like, biblically speaking, before God, what's good and what is acceptable? Well, to take care of them, to honor them, to support them. I want to show you a couple other places we're talking about being good and acceptable. Again, much like we started out this message in dealing with widows and honoring them and seeing the other, say, categories of people that the Word of God lays out that we're supposed to honor, again, pretty important, all right, especially honoring God. Well, if we honor God, we need to honor widows as well, honor the government, our officials, honor widows as well, so forth and so on. But I want you to see something else that's also good and acceptable. I want you to go to Romans real quick. Romans chapter 12, very familiar verses, in verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 2. It says this, Romans 12, verse 1. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." I mean, being a living sacrifice. Because of understanding of everything that God has done for us, the sacrifice He made for us, is our reasonable service to be a living sacrifice. That is something that is good and acceptable to God. It's acceptable in Him for us to do that. Look at verse 2. "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." It's good and acceptable to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed.
Now, what do we talk about, even in this message, in regards to dealing with who we're supposed to honor? Does the world as a whole, do they really honor their parents? Some of the things you see today in the news?
No.
Does the world today, do they honor the elderly?
Well, not when they're going and you know, beating them up and everything like that and leaving them for dead.
No.
Is the world honoring, again, God, the Father and the Son? Are they honoring God today in the world?
No.
Are they honoring the government, something that is established and ordained by God? Is that happening today?
No.
So you know what's good and acceptable? Making sure ourselves are not conformed to the world in the way they are thinking, but need to be transformed. Our mind needs to be renewed. And that only happens through a relationship with God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, and understanding that daily time in the Word of God, our mind gets renewed so we can understand what is good and the acceptable and perfect will of God. I give you something else that is said specifically that is good and acceptable in the same mode of honoring and taking care of the widows. You go back to 1 Timothy. This is something that we've already covered before in chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And the reason why I'm saying and laying these things out, because I want you to see the importance of what God places on taking care of the widow and what we can learn from that. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 1, we're going to read down through verse 4. 1 Timothy chapter 1, or excuse me, chapter 2, starting in verses 1 through 4. He says this, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. In other words, we need to be praying. Praying specifically even for our government officials. The same people that we're supposed to honor. Right? So we need to make sure that we're praying. And why? For the purpose that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Wouldn't you love to turn on the news this week and that there would be no stories about any crime, mayhem, murder, or anything like that? Wouldn't you love a week of just there's nothing like that going on in our country and in the world? Is that going to happen? No. But maybe it's not happening because we as believers in Christ are not praying either. We need to be doing this. This is the Word of God's real. It's true. We need to be doing this. And that's what it says in verse 3. Why do we need to do that? For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. That's why we need to be praying for our country. It's good and acceptable. Just like honoring our widows is good and acceptable before God. And so we're going to have the opportunity to have a quiet and peaceful life to be able to do what? To share the truth of the Word of God. Last week, elder men, elder women, younger men, sisters, or younger women as sisters, we talked about what it means to be that. Not just how we relate to other people in the body of Christ that way, but what it is to be that. To be that elder, to be that older woman, and understanding the truth of the Word of God, to be able to teach the truth of the Word of God. The brethren and the sisters, again, we gave examples of those things with Epaphroditus as well as Phoebe and how they were people that God used to be able to minister the truth of the Word of God. Good and acceptable. What our lives need to be? Living sacrifice? Understanding the good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Need to be praying for our country, that we lead a quiet and peaceful life. Why? Because that's good and acceptable to God. He wants everybody to be saved. Honor the widows that you have. Support and take care of them. Why? It's good and acceptable before God because you know why? God still has a need for the widows to be used in ministry. Just like that widow woman back in 1 Kings chapter 17 took care of Elijah. And just like Anna that was ready to preach, ready to teach, and dealing with the Word of God, the redemption as far as the nation of Israel and the Lord Jesus Christ. 84 years old, and she's still giving out the Word of God. She's still serving the Lord day and night, fasting and prayers and so forth. Makes me wonder, as I finish up here, what a difference it might make in our country if families, our believers in Christ, our churches, took care of our widows, that are widows indeed, whoever they are, I mean the widows that they need that support, so we can support them in ministry. And that widows would not be sitting there just thinking that the only thing I could do is just, I guess, go to church and pray. That's it. No. God still, if you're still living, He can use you. And He wants to use you. Again, I stress to any of the widows that are out there, we can learn from this. But specifically, don't think that you're too old, that you can't serve God, that He's done with you. No. As long as you're still in the land of the living, He's able to use you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, can I thank You and praise You for the day. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for what You've laid out to us. Lord, I look at a message like this, and it's definitely more of a teaching than preaching message. At least it seems that way in my mind. But Lord, I just pray, just like my devotion that You've given me today out of 1 Corinthians 14, that this message would edify the people that are listening to it, or will listen to it, that it will exhort them, encourage them to apply it to their lives and to comfort them, Lord. This is something that we just don't seem to really talk a lot about, and that's what's great about expositionally coming through Your Word. We have to deal with every subject matter that comes up. And so, Lord, I thank You for that. Again, for those of us who have widows in our lives, or just even having parents that are living, that we not be like the Pharisees that come up with some quote-unquote religious excuse of why they can't honor and take care of the parents. If parents have need, Lord, that we be ready to help them to be able to continue to be used of You to minister. And I also pray for those who are widows, those who are elderly, and thinking that, oh, there's no way God can use me. I'm past my prime. And no, You're not. We've seen examples today of how You can use widows, and how, just like all of us, we need to continue to grow in our faith and our trust in You so that we can be used of You. And I pray that this message will hit those that are in this category of being a widow, that they would desire to be used of You. Lord, help us to continue to understand these things, as we will have 3 more Sundays of specifically laying out requirements of a widow and the things that we can learn from them. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.